This is David writing about you and about me and about himself. And he says, he's talking about God. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot even be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. That's the God we worshiped this morning. That's the God we sang and praised to. Let's just take a moment here and bow our heads and talk to God. Before we open up His Word, just speak back to God something that He spoke to you either through the songs this morning or just through those few verses that I read. Praise God this morning. Father, we just want to thank you again for the wonderful work that you did through your Son Jesus on the cross. We are so blessed to be called your son and your daughter, your children. And now, Lord, as we turn our hearts to your word and to what you want to speak to us through that, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask that you yourself would move amongst us this morning. Speak to each one of us where we are at, dealing with the things that we deal with in our own lives, the things that people can't see. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take your word that you gave to us here, bring it alive. Bring us life, Lord. This is from you, and this is what we want you to be glorified through, Father, this morning. We give you the honor and glory and praise. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just a good morning to everybody, and so grateful to be here. There's quite a few people who are traveling from church here back today from conference, and it was a privilege to be there for half a day or three quarters of a day yesterday, and to worship Jesus with brothers and sisters from all over the world. Convening in this cornfield in the middle of Ohio. As we were leaving there, I told Julie and the kids, I said, I just don't understand how this little cornfield has had the ability to touch people's lives all around the world. You think about it, Maranatha touches people's lives from all around the world just from right here. How that works and how God does it, it's just amazing to me. But that's what we do. And so this little area here was touching people's lives from all over the world, and it's really cool. So if you are here visiting us with the first time, we are going through a sermon series found in Revelation. And if I could have those first slides put up there, these are the verses that we are minus verse 17. That's not up on the screen there, but these are the verses that we have been dealing with over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And it goes like this, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now we've talked about salvation. We've talked about the authority of his Christ. What is that? And then we talked about the accusers of our brothers and sisters. In other words, who is the accuser? That is Satan. And how he's been thrown down or kicked out of heaven. And then how he accuses us day and night before our God. Think about that. And then they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. They as being the church, that's you and I, and Satan being him. By the blood of the Lamb. Last week we talked about the blood of the Lamb. And this week we are now dealing with the word of their testimony And Lord willing, next week we will be looking at loving not our lives even unto death. So that ending thing. And then and we have a special speaker coming in on the 11th. And he'll be speaking with us. And then we will be picking back up in verse 17 again as we continue on the 18th of August. So, yeah, so here we are. Let's talk about testimony. And why is it important that this whole series of the authority of Jesus in being an overcomer? The next verse that'll pop up there will be found in Matthew 28, which refers to this, where we're coming back to. But what is our testimony? What is a testimony? And why is it important? In Matthew 28, 18, or 17 through 20, it says this, that Jesus said, can I have that verse up there? And it says, when they saw him, this is the disciples, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's a lot of promises in there, in those verses, but that whole phrase, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. How does that work with our testimony? And if you remember when we started this series, we went to Mark chapter 5, and that's where I said we were going to go again this morning. All authority means that he has been supreme, that he has the right, he has the ability, or as my daughter said, he is the boss. He gets to tell us what to do. Very simple. So how does Jesus have all authority over our testimony? First of all, what is testimony? Anybody know what testimony is? I'll give you the definition. The word testimony means this: evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. Evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. Has anybody ever seen Jesus? You have? Very good. I mean, these are all answers. I'm just trying to get us to think here a little bit. Evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. When you tie that with Jesus and yourself, that means you have a public account or an accounting of an experience with Jesus or your new birth. Like Kitty said, a feeling. I've felt the Holy Spirit in my life working. Okay, there's the feelings. My dad always used to say, you can't live by feelings. You can't make decisions by feelings. You'll make a mistake. I feel good today, so I'm going to do this. I don't know if he's always 100% right on that. So this morning, it got me to thinking. Okay, so evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something, and when I tie that with Jesus, that means I have a public account of an experience with Jesus or my new birth. And as I was reading through this passage earlier this week in Mark 5, this thought struck me, and if you saw my post on Facebook, you saw that I put a comment in there, you do not need a PhD to tell your story, or something like that. You don't need a PhD, folks. I don't have a PhD. But I can certainly tell you what Jesus has done in my life. And I think if we went around the room here and sat down with each individual and heard your story, at different aspects, at different levels of your life, you would have had an encounter or had something that Jesus did in your life. And you don't need a PhD to do that. You don't have to do that. A PhD is this. Anybody know what a PhD stands for? I did not know what PhD stood for. Show you how naive I am. But basically, it means a doctoral degree. It's the abbreviation for a doctor of philosophy, commonly called a doctrinal degree. It's typically the highest academic degree awarded and requires at least 4 years of study and extensive original research. original, meaning new to you. Original. Can't be something you stole from someone else. Has to be original research for yourself. We're going to look at a person this morning who had no PhD, and yet his story and his experience with Jesus amazed the people around him. And we started off with this story. Mark chapter 5, it'll be up there on the screen behind you. Might be a little word a little different than what I'm going to be reading here, because I think I put that up when I originally started the series in the NIV, and I'm reading out of the NLT this morning. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles, which would have been around his ankles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling, cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him. Bowed low before him, and with a shriek he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. And there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and an entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned into the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened, and a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began to shout and scream, "We want you to build yourself a tabernacle on a church here," right? Do you remember that? You would think, after seeing a man who had been able to break chains and shackles, that when he's free and completely sane and in his right mind, sitting there calm, no longer naked, but clothed, that they would want Jesus to stay, right? They want to know exactly what in the world and what power had more strength than the shackles that they had put on them. But that's not what they did, right? It says, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. It says a lot about their own hearts. They would have rather watched this man chained by the demon possession that was within him. They would rather watched him sit on the countryside roads or in the graveyard or basically over here in the cemetery, cutting himself and screaming. That was entertainment to them. You think about what takes a person to do that. In our world today, in our culture, we're no different. We might have modernized it or made it a little, maybe not so graphic, but we do that quite often. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus knew this man's possessed heart. Deep down inside, he did not want to be that way. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to find those whose hearts are longing or looking forward or want to know who God is. That's what God's doing right now, even in this room. God's eyes are running back and forth, looking for those hearts who are ever towards Him. You see, the hearts of men and women around the world and in our own communities are tormented by sin and Satan, deep down inside, yet they may be looking for truth and desire it in the innermost parts, as God says. God is looking for a few good men and women to share the gospel with them. The song a few months ago that I mentioned, that for such a time as this, you were placed on this earth to do the will of God, whatever it is. God has placed you on this earth for just such a time as that, because He has a job for you and I to do. And you often think of that job sometimes as hard. Have you ever had someone, do not raise your hand to this question, have you ever had someone ask you, hey, would you come share your testimony? Or would you stand up in front of church or in front of a Sunday school class or to the youth group? And you think deep down inside, I can't do that. I don't know if I can do that. Yesterday when we were, Lynn and I were tag teaming on the workshop for Creation to Christ to share the story of how Creation to Christ has helped us help teach a firm foundation. I shared that the first time I taught that class, I was scared as a, I don't know what. You might not have seen that, but inside I was scared as all get out. Because you know why? I thought, man, I can't teach. The first time I got up to speak up here, and I still do that, my knees, you can't tell, but my knees are shaking right now. Inside. Why? Because you're standing in front of people. It's not about mad, it's not about that, but there are things that we do, and you press through some of those things, and you do it because God is giving us an ability to share what Jesus has done for Him. And you don't have to go to school to study it. That's the key. That's the coolest part. We're going to see that here in a minute. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this question for the remainder of the sermon. Whatever you hear in here, come back to this question. What has Jesus done for you? And I would like to, at the end, propose an assignment. This afternoon or this week, go home and write the moment from the day you were born, the day that last week we talked about that breath that you took, the first breath that you took was a sacred moment in your life for eternity. Go home and just spend some time. Can't write every detail and every day out. I understand that. I can't remember what happened 5 years ago in my life every day. But write down those moments where Jesus did something for you. Some people call that journaling. Willis talks about that often, that he has his prayer journal. But write down those things that Jesus has done for you, and then look back over your life. And as you see where your journey began, just as this man's journey began here, you'll begin to see the hand of God moving across your life. And that's your story. You can write it to where you're at today. What has Jesus done for you? So what happens? This man was completely sane, sitting there on the countryside, and the people pleaded with Jesus to leave. And then pick up in verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Now, I mean, Jesus has just done something great. We call this church today. This is what we've called church. When Jesus does something great for you, now you come to church. this building, what we call church. Come. And you then live the rest of your life coming to church on Sunday morning and prayer meeting and sit in the pew and listen to someone like myself talk. That's what we call church. I'm going to beg to differ a little bit here. And when we get to August 18th and we talk about the next phase of this thing, when I get to speak on the next aspect of the commands of Christ, I'm going to hopefully paint a picture for you of church that might be a little different. He says here, he begged to go with him. He begged. I use the word begged. Now, to beg means you get down on your knees oftentimes. You're begging. This man was begging to go with Jesus. Please let me go with you, Lord. I just want to go with you. He had that one act of freeing him from those chains that held him back in his spirit and his soul. He now wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus said, sure, come on, let's go. Get in the boat and let's go. You can walk with me the rest of your life. No, he didn't say that. He did the opposite. Jesus did not let him go, but said, go. Where did he tell him to go? He told him to go home. To go home to his friends, his family. And to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And so the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis, if I pronounce that right, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. I want you to look at some words in there. He said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. What is mercy? Creation of Christ now, guys. Back to the basics, all the way back. Ah, there you go. Not getting what you do deserve. Mercy. What do we deserve? Death. This man deserved to die. Jesus had compassion on him. And it says, and the Lord has done for you. Whenever you use the word term Lord, it means you denote somebody that's something greater, higher. What has Jesus done for you? You see, that call for this man here is no different than the call that was given to us. The call to go out and tell our friends and our families, those in our own homes, what Jesus has done for us. When we took this trip this past week, I went to visit my grandma. I haven't seen her in like 3 years. And you think you really know somebody when you've been around. I would go to see grandma once a year as a boy. Sometimes I would go spend a summer, a week or two at her place and work with grandpa on his business. And you think, I know grandma and grandpa pretty well. How many of you know your grandparents or had the opportunity to know your grandparents? Okay. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a blessing to know them. How many of you would have said you knew how those your grandparents met? 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe a few hands here. Not compared to everything else. So this week we were there and I was sitting there. Grandma, I said, Grandma, tell us how you and Grandpa met, because I don't know that story. Then she began to tell how Grandpa slyly called her by her wrong name and said, aren't you Claire? No, I'm not Claire. I mean, it's no different than today. the pickup lines you have in the bar or the... there's no difference. I found it very interesting that
50, 60 years ago here, Grandpa was pulling the same line that, you know, some of us guys pulled on our wives to, you know, get to know our future wives, right? Some of the young ladies are laughing. Just be prepared. I was telling my daughters, and just when they come up to you and pull that line on you, just say, hey, I'm sorry, you got the wrong person. I'm way out of my father and grandmother and them have already told me all about this. Why am I telling you about this? Because I didn't know my grandma. I thought I knew my grandma. I thought I knew a lot about her. But I didn't really know her. These are just some stories. And Jesus is doing the same thing here. This man hadn't spent 40 years like I have spent with my grandma. This man had spent maybe. The Bible doesn't tell us. But you think how long it takes Jesus to cast out demons. Probably wasn't very long. Maybe a few hours at the most. Maybe a few hours. He didn't have to spend a lot of knowledge to know and understand information about who Jesus was. He didn't go and take and study 60 years in the scriptures here to have a complete knowledge before he said, you know what, I can go and tell somebody what Jesus did. It was a few short moments. Because when you meet with Jesus and he changes your life, that's all you need to tell somebody your testimony. Now, why did Jesus tell him to go and tell those at home? One, because Jesus had compassion for them and he wanted their lives to be changed too, right? But Jesus also is the Son of God. So he knows everything that was preordained before the foundation of the world, okay? If you go back to Revelation 12 at the beginning, what did it say? And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, your testimony is just not about an experience with Jesus. It's also a key component to overcoming Satan in your life. If you want to continue to live a life that is free from greed, anger, bitterness, pornography, drunkenness, drugs, whatever, you have to share what Jesus has done for you, or you leave the door open for Satan to come back into your life again and attack you and hound you with all the things that you have been quote-unquote guilty of in the past. It's a key component to the church. And unfortunately, I think in America, we've lost this. After World War II, I think I've shared this story here before. After World War II, General MacArthur was asked by the nation of Japan to send 100 and some missionaries to tell them about their God. Because their God, which would be our God, the God of America, quote unquote, had more power than their God. John MacArthur went and talked with the Gideons and many of the different organizations around America. And we didn't send 100 and some missionaries like the nation of Japan wanted. And sad to say, you can see the difference in the world today. If you go to Japan, they turn to technology, one of the most technical nations in the world, which is what we used in defeating them. Technology, the bomb, as you call it. And so they felt that that's what was America's God, technology. They turned to that. Why am I sharing all this with you? Because I think in America,
even in my own life, we have forgot to go and tell people what Jesus has done for us. And Satan, that has opened the door for so much stuff in his church, in God's church, to come in and keep plaguing us with these bombarding of the mind. Different things. I mean, I'm not going to list them all. There's a lot of stuff that we can list. We're to the point where in America today, the American church isn't much different than the world. Friends of mine have said that over the years. I don't go to church anymore because it's no different than me. They can watch the same stuff I watch. They can listen to the same stuff I listen to. They can do the same things that I do. What's different? We've lost what Jesus has done for us. We think that's given us the freedom to just do whatever. No, it hasn't. Philip and the Ethiopian were traveling. Well, Philip was sitting there, and the Ethiopian was traveling in his chariot, heading back to the queen of Ethiopia, and he was reading in Isaiah. He had no idea what he was reading, couldn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit led Philip down to meet this man. And Philip asked him a question. Do you understand what this... You can find that story in Acts 8. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Philip took the testimony of Isaiah. What Isaiah had written down, what God had given him. And he began to explain to him about this man named Jesus. And the man put his faith and trust in Jesus, baptized him there on the spot when they came to some water. As soon as he came out of the water, Philip disappears. Man never saw Philip again. That man went on his way rejoicing, and we do know today through history that that man went on to become the church, first church planter of the gospel in Ethiopia. This past week, as we were there, I was sitting with a lady across from the table who was a missionary to Ethiopia as a little girl. Her mom and dad were in Ethiopia, and I sat there and thought of that story, thinking about it, like, wow, here it is. Philip, led by the Holy Spirit, went to talk to someone and explain to them the scriptures. Philip was not a scholar. He was not a PhD specialist. You do not need a PhD to tell what Jesus did for you. Challenge us this morning . Picture this. If you would go home this week and write your testimony out, if I had a way to help you share your story with somebody that would not give you a whole lot of pressure, would you do it? In other words, if you weren't afraid, if I didn't have to bring you up here, I might grab my daughter Catherine and say, Catherine, come right on up here right now. I want you to share your story with me. Would you do it? No. But if I had a way to share that story, that testimony, where you weren't standing in front of a whole lot of people, would you do it? It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? You know, we have access to that today. How many of you would be willing to write your story and what Jesus has done for you and give them to me? Some of you raising your hands. We have a way to do that. No time and no history in our world can Maranatha impact the world like it in churches all around the world do this. The gift of technology is there. And there's a way to share your stories with people all around the world if you're willing to do it. I've got a couple of you already that are going to be sitting with me. I've talked with you some and having your testimony
that I hope I can share with you guys via video. So in a few months, or in a few weeks, towards the end of August, we're hoping to do that. But I encourage you, your testimony is very, very important. Some of you may have a testimony that of what God has freed you from that's not like mine. And that's great. You don't need to be like Matt. He made you a unique individual where you're at. Some of you come from different backgrounds than I come from. And that's great. Why? Because there's somebody else in the world that has a story similar to yours that hasn't yet met Jesus. 7 billion people. Somebody in the world has gone through some of the same pain you've gone through in your life. And they just need to hear your story, how Jesus has helped you with it. I haven't gone through all the pain that some of you've gone through. Some of it I have. That doesn't mean somebody else hasn't gone through it. Don't be afraid to share your testimony with somebody and tell them what Jesus has done for you. Worship team, you can come on up. And as they're coming, you might be sitting in here saying, man, I can't answer that question. I don't know what Jesus has done for me. And that's okay. You're at the beginning point of a journey in your own life. You have to start somewhere with your relationship with Jesus. If you're at that place, this man here, notice in the thing, it didn't say in the story, it didn't say the demons ran towards Jesus. It said the man ran towards Jesus, which tells you a little bit about his heart. He ran towards Jesus. It was the demons who spoke, didn't want that man freed from them. All it takes is your step of faith and saying, hey, I want Jesus to free me from whatever it is. And it's going to be different for you than it was for me. There's things in my life that Jesus had to free me from. And when you are free from those things, let me put it this way. Paul says, I endeavor daily to have a clear conscience between God and man. When a person is trapped by something, they can't look people in the eye. You ever notice that? You ever had one of your children, when they lie to you? You're smiling back there. It doesn't matter. When someone does something wrong, and you ask them a specific question, a pinpointed question, and they're lying about it, and you know they're lying about it, they can't look you in the eye. Okay? They can't look you in the eye. Police officers use it. But when you have freedom, when Jesus has freed you from something, you can look someone in the eye and say, hey, Jesus has freed me from this. It's one of the most powerful gifts that God's given to you, to be able to look someone in the eye and say, hey, God has given me freedom over this. If you're at that place where you've been battling something, whatever it is, this morning as the worship team leads us, we stand in a little bit and we talk to God. Give it to Him. Just like this man running, just run to Jesus. Because He will take whatever you got. You really want to unload it. Doesn't mean you'll never be tempted or never have any other problems again in life. I'm not giving you a perfect situation because I still get battled with some of the things that Jesus has freed me from. I wrestle with them day in and day out. It doesn't mean that He hasn't freed me from it. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. when you do something that goes against that, and you give in to that temptation, that's when you sin. Jesus wants to free all of us from whatever it is that we battle with. And then you can use that story, that thing, to tell people and help someone else. So let's pray. As you stand with us as we worship and close out the service, I'll be up front here if you want someone to pray with you. I'll be more than happy to pray. Remember, I can pray for you. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is right. I can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to work, but you yourself need to speak and pray and talk to God. Confess whatever you're battling with. And maybe it's just you've been free from all kinds of stuff for many years, but you haven't been able to get past the fear of sharing your testimony with someone. That's a chain. Jesus wants you to free you from that. Just talk to God about it. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful this morning of how your word, these lessons, these stories of what you did for people thousands of years ago are so relevant and evident in our lives today as well. If but for the grace of God, I can't be standing here sharing from your word. Father, if there's someone in here this morning that has been battling some sort of addiction or pain or something that has held them back from experiencing you, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give them the strength to run to Jesus. May this be the starting point of a life that is willing to just go out and share what Jesus has done for us. Thank you for giving us this thing called a testimony. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing it to be part of us defeating Satan in our daily lives, day in and day out, to resisting his temptation. Because when Satan can come and tempt me with something that I have battled with years ago, I can say, no, the blood of the Lamb that was slain on Calvary paid for that sin, and you no longer have the right to come into my life and plague me with that. I have the right to use the testimony of what you did for me on that cross to refute Satan. Holy Spirit, I pray this for my brothers and sisters here. And as they go throughout their life this week and their journey and their walk with you, I pray that you would remind us as the temptations from Satan come at us. And we can remind Satan that, no, my life has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And I am in him and he is in me. And you have no more legal right over my life. I have chosen to follow Jesus. Holy Spirit, will you remind us of that each and every time we are tempted? As the worship team leads us in song, if you want to come forward and pray and talk, the altar's open. If not, pray in your seat. You don't have to come to the front to talk to Jesus.